For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the third day of our three-day sitting this weekend of the Soshin. This time of year, it is to commemorate and celebrate the awakening of our great original founder, Shakyamuni Buddha, 2,500 years or so ago. We've been celebrating that by talking about the great Zen ancestors. So for our midday service, we've been chanting the names in Sanskrit of the Buddhas before Buddha, and the Indian ancestors are the names we have to represent them, and in Chinese ancestors, and Japanese ancestors down to Suzuki Roshi. And we've been talking the last couple of days about Yunyan Tansheng, one of the founders of Chinese Soto Zen, or Zhaodong. Dongshan is considered the founder, but really Zhaodong refers to the all the ancestors between the sixth ancestor and Dongshan, and so Yunyan was Dongshan's teacher, and we've been talking, exploring his saying about the one who is not busy. Today, though, I want to talk about Shudo Sichuan, who was two generations before Yunyan. Shudo is the teacher who wrote the Song of the Grass Hut we've been chanting, and also the Harmony of Difference and Sameness, very important foundational text to Soto Zen philosophy, all of Zen philosophy. So I want to focus on a story about Shudo that Dogen speaks of in his extensive record. So one day, Dawu asked Shudo, this is a different Dawu from Yunyan's brother, this is an earlier Dawu, Jianhuang Dawu. He asked Shudo, what is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? Now, before I tell you what Shudo said, I would like to ask you all, and don't say anything, but please take a minute to think. What is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? Think about your answer. What is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? So later I might ask you to say what it is you're thinking of now, the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma. What what Shuto said at that time was not attaining, not knowing. So I'm going to talk about that. But I'll also add that Dawu said, beyond that, is there any other pivotal point or not? And I'll come back to that and finish the story at some point. Not attaining, not knowing. Not to attain, not to know. Well, of course, you know, everybody in this room is very bright, very gifted group here. Many of you have many attainments, and some of you even know a few things. So Jianhuang Dawu asked Shuto, what is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? And he said, not to attain, not to know. And of course, the Heart Sutra, which we chant regularly, says, at the end of one of the major sections, there is no attainment and nothing to attain. and the great Japanese master Kukai, founder of the esoteric school of Shingon, 9th century master, great figure in Japanese Buddhism, said upon commenting on this sentence from the Heart Sutra, there's no attainment and nothing to attain, he said, Avalokiteshvara, Kanzeon smiles, hearing this. The great bodhisattva of compassion. No attainment and nothing to attain. So, the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma. Did anybody think that as the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? No? Okay. Well, you know, this is an important question. So actually, I started my practice a long time ago in New York City with, we called him Nakajima Sensei, Kondo Nakajima, at the New York Zen Center on the Upper West Side of in Manhattan. Wonderful teacher, very non-charismatic. You wouldn't even notice him if you saw him on the street. Anyway, I studied with him for 3.5 years and do going to Zazen every week and more than once a week and monthly sittings and a little bit like what we do here. Doksan, many weeks. After 3.5 years, due to various family circumstances, I moved to San Francisco, and by that point I'd read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind many times, and I knew that there was the San Francisco Zen Center, and Baker Roshi was the teacher there. So anyway, before I left, Nakajima Sensei said to me in Doksan, when you get there, ask the teacher there, what is the essential teaching of Buddhism, or what is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? So I had this question that I came with. And I, of course, went straight to San Francisco Zen Center and practiced there. Well, still connected to practicing there. And Baker Roshi became my teacher, and he was actually, I'm very grateful to him for many, many things. And when I finally got a chance to ask him, what is the essential teaching of Buddhism? Nakajima Sensei asked me to ask him. He said, I don't usually answer questions like that. But in your case, I'll make an exception. He said, the essential teaching of Buddhism is that there's no Buddhism. That's pretty good. Did any of you think that was the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? Okay, nobody. As it happened at that time, I was a student of Baker Roshi's and appreciated it, but he wasn't around so much because there were 3 big campuses, Tassajara and Green Gulch and City Center where I was. But Reb was the Tonto at Green Gulch, Reb Anderson, who became my ordination and Dharma transmission teacher. So I actually saw him. He was really my teacher, along with Baker Roshi, very much from the beginning. Saw him much more frequently. So before I saw Baker Roshi, even when I had my first practice discussion with Reb, I told him that I'd been asked to ask this, and I asked him, what is the essential teaching of Buddhism? And he said, don't you already know? Did anybody think of that as the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? No. Anyway, I've been studying this, don't you already know, for more than 30 years. It's pretty good. What is it that we already know? Anyway, these are some other answers. I'll add Dogen's answer. A little more involved. So this is in a talk that he gave. And it's in this other book. Zen Questions. He said this to one of his favorite students, a nun named Rionen. He had many women disciples, but he said to Rionen, actually it was in a letter, he said, "Without begrudging any effort in nurturing the way, for you, I will demonstrate the precise meaning of the ultimate truth of Buddha. That is, if you do not hold on to a single phrase or half a verse, a bit of talk or a small expression, in this lump of red flesh, you will have some accord with the clear, cool ground. If you hold on to a single word or half a phrase of the Buddha ancestors' sayings or the koans from the ancestral gate, they will become dangerous poisons. If you want to understand this mountain monk's activity, do not remember these comments. Truly avoid being caught up in thinking." So, for Dogen, at least in this occasion, the ultimate teaching of Buddhism was to not hold on to a single phrase, to not even remember anything you hear in this session. Of course, now that you've heard that, you've got a big problem because you might remember it. But if you don't remember it, you might remember other things. So anyway. So the various answers that can be made to this wonderful question: what is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? The great teacher Shuddha said, "Not attaining, not knowing." So, there's a lot to say about this, although there's nothing to know about it and there's nothing to attain. So, as Bob Dylan says, there's nothing, really nothing to turn off, or there's nothing to win and nothing to lose. One of the founders of the five houses of Chan, though, the Fayan school, Fayan when he was a monk and finished his study with his teacher Duzong, was going to go off on pilgrimage. Duzong is Chinese for Jizo, so this teacher was named after the great Bodhisattva Jizo, whose large picture is in our library. So he went to see his teacher Duzong and said, "I'm going off on pilgrimage." He was going to go off and visit other teachers and, you know, check out himself and Chan. And Duzong said, "Oh, what's the purpose of your pilgrimage?" And Fayan, who again later became the founder of one of the five houses of Chan in China, Fayan said, "I don't know." And Duzong said, "Not knowing is most intimate." So this is kind of... Fayan was a little bit later than Shuddha, but this is kind of confirmation. Not knowing. Not knowing is nearest. Not knowing is most intimate. On the other hand, the great teacher Zhaozhou once asked Nanchuan, "What is the way?" Nanchuan said, "Ordinary, everyday mind is the way." And Zhaozhou said, "Oh, how do I get to that?" And Nanchuan said, "The more you try and approach it, the further away you get." And Zhaozhou then said, "Well, how do I know it's the way or not?" So, you know, people regularly come and ask me a question like that. "How do I know if I'm doing it right?" And Nanchuan said, "Knowing is just a fabrication. Not knowing is indifference. When you reach the true way beyond doubt, it's vast and open as the sky. How could it be a matter of affirming or negating it?" So, you know, if you set up not knowing as some attainment, that's not it either. Not to attain, not to know. What is the essential meaning of the Buddha Dharma? This is a good question to consider as we honor the great awakening of our founder, Shakyamuni Buddha. Of course, he didn't stop practicing when he awakened 2,500 years ago, more or less today, or beyond. We celebrate it on December 8th. We don't know. Actually, it's probably in the spring. But anyway, what is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? And after his attainment, after he awakened, of course, the Buddha didn't stop and go back home and take it easy. He continued practicing, continued sitting zazen every day. He continued awakening every day. That was just the beginning of Buddhism. So there's this other story about Song Zhao, which about Ashita, which relates to a great Chinese master, Song Zhao, who was a great early translator of sutras into Chinese. There will not be a test, by the way. So you don't have to remember any of this, please. But anyway, here's just another story that one day... So in a text, Song Zhao wrote, "Only a sage can understand the 10,000 things and bring them into the self." And Shuto, before he wrote the Harmony of Difference and Sameness and the Song of the Grass, he read that and he had some epiphany and he said, "Ah, the ultimate person is empty and hollow, with no form, yet of the myriad things there is none that not it is not his own making. Who can understand myriad things as oneself? Only a sage." Oh no, actually, that's the longer version of what Song Zhao wrote. I'm sorry. That's what Song Zhao said. And Shuto read this and awakened and said, "A sage has no self, yet there is nothing that is not himself." In the empty Song of the Grass Hut we've been chanting, he writes, "The hut is small, but it includes the entire world." So, we've been talking about the one who's not busy, Shuto's student Yunyan talked about. The one who's not busy also encompasses the 10,000 things. How do you be not busy in the middle of temple cleaning, in the middle of eating your midday meal, in the middle of preparing a meal, in the middle of answering the phone or responding to email or walking down the street or dealing with the 10 things that you have to do right now? Where is the one who's not busy? And yet the 10,000 things are not somewhere else. This practice is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about just the person on your cushion or chair right now. Of course, it's not about that. So please appreciate, enjoy, breathe into and out of the body and mind on your cushion or chair right now. And yet, we don't practice just for ourselves. It's impossible. But I didn't finish the basic story. So, what is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? Maybe I should, ask that question again. So, if you can, remember what you thought when I first asked it. And now that you've heard all these other answers, do you have some answer that's not one of the answers that I've mentioned? What is the essential meaning of Buddhism? I'm asking you. Don't say anything yet. I'll call on you later. What is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? So Dawu asked Shuto that, and Shuto said, "Not attaining, not knowing. And then Dawu said, beyond that, is there any other pivotal point or not? And Shuddha said, the wide sky does not obstruct the white clouds drifting. The wide sky does not obstruct the white clouds drifting. Dogen says about this whole story, not attaining, not knowing is Buddha's essential meaning. The wind blows into the depths. And further winds blow. The wide sky does not obstruct the white clouds drifting. At that time, why do you take the trouble to ask Shuddha? So, why have Zen people for, well, Shuddha lived in the 700s. Why have Zen people been asking this question? What is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma for all these centuries? The white clouds do not, the wide sky does not obstruct the white clouds drifting. And Suzuki Roshi said, to give the cow a wide pasture. So, as you we've been sitting here the last few days. It's possible that as you've been sitting and feeling the spaciousness of emptiness, of the wide sky, the word, the Chinese character for sky also means space or emptiness. So Kachori's other name is Kusan, empty mountain or space mountain. Sky mountain. The wide sky does not obstruct the white clouds drifting. As you've been sitting here in this spacious sky that's included in this little room here, you might have had some clouds drift by. Thoughts, feelings, sensations. Probably even you have had a few of those clouds drifting by. Does the great, wide, open spaciousness of panoramic awareness in Zazen obstruct the clouds drifting by? You can try and do that. It's not recommended. You can try and, you know, hold the cloud in one place and not let it, you know, and fix it and, you know, write a description of it or an outline form or do a picture of it and put it on the wall. Clouds don't work that way. Sorry. And the wide sky does not obstruct the drifting clouds. The wide sky is not hurt at all by the clouds. You know, sometimes you can go out and see a clear sky and it's beautiful. Clear blue sky, no clouds. Sometimes you might see a sky with various clouds in it. And actually, you know, we tend to appreciate those. You know, they make for more colorful sunsets, for example. So, you know, this, I don't think the sky minds that there are clouds in it. The sky is not harmed by the clouds. It may be harmed by various other emissions, but clouds are, you know, clouds form, and sometimes they rain. So as you're sitting, please, as Suzuki Roshi said, give the cow a wide pasture. Allow the clouds or the cows to float around and drift in and out. Don't try and hold on to them. Don't try and control them. Don't try and manipulate or manage them. Although, there is this phrase, and Suzuki Roshi used it too, he talked about how he was a cloud driver. Because clouds also refers to Zen monks. Zen practitioners are called unsui in Japanese, clouds and water. Drifting along visiting different teachers, or seeing different things. Anyway, the white sky does not obstruct the white clouds drifting. But I'll ask another question. Are clouds obstructed by the sky? So, you know, in Zen we talk in terms of these nature metaphors and images often. This, and I'm not saying that Shuto was thinking about Huayan Buddhism when he answered Dawu. I'm sure he wasn't. And yet he was steeped in it, actually. And so in the Chinese Huayan Buddhist philosophy, there's this idea of the fourfold Dharma Dhatu. Dharma Dhatu means everything, the whole universe, the whole phenomenal universe, the Dharma realm. So it just means the phenomenal universe. It also, you know, has this other side that it's the whole universe informed by Dharma, informed by reality and the teaching. But anyway, in the Huayan Fourfold Dharma Dhatu, there's the phenomenal truth, there's the universal truth, we can, you know, imagine that as clouds in the sky, then there's the mutual non-obstruction of the universal and the phenomenal. So this is like the sky not obstructing the white clouds, or the white clouds not obstructing the sky. And then the fourth part is that phenomena and phenomena don't obstruct each other, the mutual non-obstruction. So this is a philosophical way of talking about this, but, you know, in terms of what Shuddha is saying, we could say clouds don't bother each other. They don't hinder each other from being clouds. Of course, sometimes clouds come together and there's rain. So clouds do interact, but they don't, you know, they don't get all upset about the other cloud, you know, little ways to the east or west. You know, I don't think clouds do that. And as they drift, you know, they may drift by other clouds, or they may drift into other clouds, and, you know, various things happen. But it's okay. So, in our sitting, can we not grasp after some attaining or some knowing? More than that, can we even not realize some attaining or some knowing? This is what Shuto is encouraging. This basic practice, this basic teaching, the essence of it is nothing to attain, nothing to know. No attainment with nothing to attain. And especially when you know something, or especially when you do attain something, you know, sitting here sometime this afternoon, suddenly the bottom of the bucket falls out and everything, you know, and lights flash and, you know, whether or not the people next to you realize that all this stuff is happening, you know, that kind of thing happens sometimes. It's not a big deal, really. When the bell rings for kinin, you still got to get up and do walking meditation. But, you know, you can enjoy it if you want. So how do we, even in the middle of attainment or knowing something, also see this background, this ultimate balance, the one who's not busy, not attaining anything, not knowing anything? And as we see the wide sky, can we allow the clouds to drift by in the middle of it? And if you get stuck on some cloud, you know what happens? You know, the person next, it might be actually a thought cloud from the person next to you, and you might say, get off of my cloud. But anyway. Still, the clouds drift. It's okay. What is the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? You know, and there are many ways to turn this. Bob Dylan asked, "Are birds free from the chains of the sky?" Maybe he could have asked about clouds too. Are clouds free from the chains of the sky? Well, our atmosphere is limited in danger, but we can't be other than in this place, this Dharmadhatu, this universe, these phenomena. So please occupy your Dharma position. Please occupy your cushion or chair. Please occupy the situation and the problems of your life. The chains of the sky are, can be kind of gentle. We're not fighting against them. Clouds drift by. So for those who are here for the day, there will be a Chosan questioning ceremony later today. But for those who are here just for the talk, but also for all of you, first of all, would someone say, when I first asked, before I started talking about what Shuto said, what were you thinking of as the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma? Anyone? Jeremy.
I said non-separation.
Non-separation. Yeah, that's what Ka said when he was here. That's good. Yeah. Yes, Deborah.
To be with all that lies within and without.
Say it again, please.
To be with all that lies within and without.
Yeah. Yeah, in his song on the grass hut, Shuto says, not stuck to inside, outside, or in between. To be with all that lies within and without. Yeah. This is to recognize our connection to all beings and to ourselves and all the beings on your cushion or chair. Good, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Josh.
My dagger.
Yeah. Good. Yes, the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma. Josh's back hurts. Jenny.
Relaxing.
Yeah, but you heard that somewhere. But yeah, Shuto says that in the song on the grass hut. Let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. So, you know, different times he may have said different things as the essential meaning, right? Yes, Jen.
I thought of no enduring self, no fixed self.
No enduring self. But please don't ignore the self that seems to endure. Yeah. Even though we know it's not. Yes, Carla.
To stay in the process without attachment to the outcome.
Very good. To stay in the process without attachment to the outcome. Yeah. I think I've heard that before, but that's good. Stay in the process without attachment to outcome. Yeah, that's... If you can practice that for this lifetime, you will not be wasting time. Yes, John?
Can I follow up on that? With the comment? Because that was really helpful for me.
Me too.
I don't mean this in an antagonistic way, but listening to you talk about non-attachment, and then I'm looking at two books that you wrote sitting in front of you, and clearly there must have been some sort of notion of desiring to attain something in the publication of them or in the writing of them, or they wouldn't exist, right?
Yeah, well, I was just, having fun tangling with Dogen and trying to share that. I don't know if that's a, if you would call that an attainment, it's just something I did. I enjoyed it in both cases quite a lot. It took a lot of work. So non-attaining, not knowing, is something that sometimes takes a lot of work. But also, we shouldn't get attached to non-attachment. You know, that's the most dangerous attachment in the world, is getting attached to non-attachment, like, oh, I should just breathe and not do anything else. You know? And sometimes then students, you know, get so blissed out from Zazen that they imagine that. Terrible. The one who's not busy engages the world. Yes, right.
Now, my answer is probably wrong on that. It was appropriate action.
Yeah, that's Yunmen's answer to a slightly different question. Maybe not. What is the teaching of a Buddha's whole lifetime? It's pretty similar to what is the essential meaning of the Buddha Dharma. And he said, Yunmen said, he said an appropriate statement referring to teaching. But I think the essence of the Buddha Dharma, the Buddha reality, is yes, an appropriate action. Good. So Nyozan, after I asked you the second time, you wanted to say something.
At the risk of being too long-winded, I'll say it again.
Thank you very much for your eloquence. So, any other, whether or not it's about any essential meaning or inessential meaning, any other questions or comments? We have a couple minutes if anyone has anything else to say. Jenny.
You know, when you read it the first time, and I heard you say Shuto's answer was not non-attainment of not knowing. Or
I don't think that's what I said, but okay. Let's say it again.
No attainment of not knowing.
Well, that too.
And I thought, oh, damn.
Because you've been trying to not know all this time.
You know, that was one thing, you know, past that now. But I did think that after, because that's going to his practice, and just everything falls away. You just don't know anything. And then you realize even the stuff you didn't know, you don't even know what you didn't know.
Stop bragging.
That at least I am attaining that. I am attaining not knowing. And that was kind of, I mean, I was kind of laughing at myself, but then I realized, well, I can't even do that.
Yeah, Shuto says, the essential meaning of Buddha Dharma is no attainment, no knowing. Period.
You can't even attain not knowing.
You can't even know non-attainment. John.
Is there a comma between no attainment and not knowing?
So he's an English professor, you know. And there's no commas in Chinese. It's one of the challenges of translating, is that often there's no period either, and one phrase might relate to the previous passage and be part of the previous sentence or the following sentence, but so I can tell you what the translator said. The translators wrote, Shuto said, comma, quote, not attaining, comma, not knowing, period, quotation mark. That was just the English translators.
That's important, because it has a different meaning. You take the comma out, so yeah.
I don't know how much it trusts those translators.
But you were lay ordained by the other one, so. But actually, okay, do I have the original? I have the original somewhere. In the Chinese, it's clear. It's no, it's actually, even though there's no commas, it's not attaining, and it's not knowing. I actually, you know, I think the translators got it right.
I wasn't questioning that, but clarifying to my own self.
Yes, not attaining and not knowing. So please enjoy the white clouds drifting by. please don't try and obstruct the white clouds drifting by. Please don't get caught up by the white clouds drifting by. If you find yourself riding a cloud, enjoy it, but then, you know, you can let it go. Yes, Asha.
What if it's not a white cloud, but it's a black cloud? And
we don't discriminate here. Enjoy the black clouds, too.
I mean, you know, the painful stuff is
especially
so
joyful. Especially enjoy the painful stuff. When I say enjoy, part of that word, and you can correct me if I don't have the exact definition right, but I think part of enjoy means to bring joy to it. How do we bring joy to the black clouds? And in our practice, that means not to obstruct them, just pay attention. Don't run away from yourself. Don't run away from your sadness. Don't run away from your fear. Don't run away from the difficulty of being a white cloud or a black cloud. Pay attention. And be kind to all the cows, all of the different beings, and all of the beings and clouds on your own cushion. And good luck.